Hope you're doing good. We love you. Keep listening. We pray that the Holy Spirit hits you as powerfully as we feel the Holy Spirit now in this place. Well, like I said, my name is Pastor Harris, and this is week two of Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And like I said, if you want a book, Miss Sherry has them in the back for $10. There you go. Dennis, put up your book. Hallelujah. That man just spent $10. The best $10 he spent all day. Hallelujah. Going once? Yeah. He's selling his for $11. That's a good deal, buddy. See him behind the church after church. That's just weird. Okay. He'll be the guy in the trench coat. All right. So let's move on. Last week, my wife, she talked about something is desperately wrong. Do you remember that? Were you here last week? Will you raise your hand? It's powerful. Something is desperately wrong. So true. It was a wonderful teaching. Where is she? Where are you, beautiful lady? You in here? No? Right there. Yeah. She's not my wife, man. Looking for a beautiful lady. He's getting all the points he can get. Yeah. Keep getting the points, man. That's a good idea. All the married men say, you can never have too many points. Because a lot of times you cash in a whole bunch in just one day and you don't even know it. All right. She did a wonderful teaching last week. It was heart-provoking. It was even heartbreaking. There was a lot, but one of the main things that hit me too, and I know this, but it's just good to hear again, one of the main things was this, is the church looks no different than the world. We don't. I mean, we have the same divorce rate. We have the same issues. We have the same hiccups, the same problems. And that should not be. It should not be. And it's not God's fault. It's not. I'm talking about you, baby, right now. You just came in. There she is. That's a beautiful one, right? That's your beautiful one. That one's mine right there. Okay. All right. Don't you get points with my wife. That's my wife. I need the points. Okay. And just saying how wonderful last week was and how powerful it was and the blessing. It's heartbreaking in the fact that something is desperately wrong. And plain and simple, church, we need a revival. What is a revival? It's an outpouring of His Spirit to His church to revive us. The good thing is revivals are to revive, right? You can only revive something that was once alive. Amen? You can't revive something that's dead or never was alive. It has to be alive in the first place. So we need to pray for revival, a coming aliveness to the church again, that people will start to turn from their ways and start turning to God's ways. And we'll see some amazing things happen. But what, like last week, raise your hand who came last week. Awesome. So good group of us. Wonderful. So with that information that you were given like that, what are you going to do with it? Right? What you do with it really is what matters. The actions behind information is what changes or keeps them going the same direction. See, that's where I think a lot of times, and I'm not talking about you, I'm just talking about church in general, is a lot of times I think what we've established is a consumer mentality in all churches across the board. I mean, that we sit, we listen, we soak, but we don't do anything about it. Because if we did, church, if the church did something about it, there would be an absolute outpouring of love all over the world. There would be so much change. It'd be incredible. There'd be so many people getting set free of so many things. We would see the things that we read about in the Bible. We would see that on a daily basis. It wouldn't be abnormal. It would be normal. We are supernatural, and the supernatural should be a normal thing for us. Amen? But so often we're just shocked if something like God answered a prayer. Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's what He does. That's His nature, right? And so we need to get out of the consumer mentality that we just kind of absorb but we don't apply. Because that's what's happened. Something is desperately wrong. So this week we're switching a little bit switching a mode here. This week we're going to talk about becoming your authentic self. becoming your authentic self, knowing yourself so you may know God. Knowing yourself so you may know God. Awareness of yourself and your relationships with God are intricately related. They are related. They're linked together. We must put off our old self, right? We've heard this, and put on our new, true, real self, right? Put off my old self. You realize if you are a believer and Jesus lives in you, that old self was never intended for you in the first place. You get that, right? The real, true self is one that knows God. The one is connected to God. See, Paul says it like this in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 22-24. He says, "Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." Your real nature is to be like God, truly righteous and holy. I think we found the loophole that I'm just a human, so I mess up. The true self is that you are not supposed to. You were created to. Jesus gave us the power over those things. Amen? And we can walk those out. Augustine wrote this in 400 AD, so quite a long time ago. Quote, "How can you draw close to God when you are far from yourself?" When he prayed, he said this, "Grant, Lord, that I might know myself, that I might know thee." End quote. John Calvin, a hero in the faith, long time ago, in 1530, he wrote this, "Our wisdom consists almost entirely on two parts, the knowledge of God and the knowledge of ourselves. But as these are connected together by many ties, it is not easy to determine which of the two precedes and gives birth to the other." Here's a sad fact. Most people go to their graves without knowing who they were. Think about that for a moment. We're constantly living someone else's life. Or say it like this, at least we're living a life of someone else's expectations of our life. What happens? This destroys us. It hurts our relationship with God and ultimately our relationships with other people as well. All right, I have a question for you. Okay? How many in here were taught? And I'll let you know, honey, when I need the mic. My wife will go around. But I just kind of want a show of hands if you think about this. How many in here were taught that feelings are unreliable and are not to be trusted? Raise your hand. Feelings are, okay, truth. Half of us, okay, awesome. Have you been taught this, that feelings go up and down and they're the last thing we should be attending to in our spiritual lives? Raise your hand. About half of the half. Well, guess what? That's an incorrect biblical view. That's not correct. Think about this. If that were true, then why did God create us with such a wide range of emotions? Why would he do that? There are hundreds of emotions, each one of them with their own variations, their own blends, and particular nuances. Researchers have classified them in 8 different categories. So category number 1 is this, anger. It includes fury, hostility, irritability, annoyance. Many of us have been there today multiple times. Nobody's laughing because you know it's you, right? Like, I'm annoyed that you said that. Okay, number 2, sadness. Grief, self-pity, despair, dejection, loneliness. Number 3 is fear. Anxiety, Think about that. Fear is, anxiety is actually fear. It's a control issue, really. Fear. Anxiety, edginess, nervousness, fright, terror, apprehension. Number four, enjoyment. Joy, relief, contentment, delight, thrill, euphoria. Hallelujah. Number five, love. Acceptance, trust, devotion, adoration. Three more. Number six, surprise. Ah, shock, amazement, wonder. Number seven, disgust, contempt, scorn, distaste. And number eight, shame, which includes guilt, remorse, humiliation, and embarrassment. Pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? It is, I want to say this, is it possible that in the feeling realm, we can have reality? Reality that does not compromise God's truths. Is that possible? Is it possible that we could listen? I'll put it on me. Is it possible that I could listen to my desires, my dreams, my likes, and my dislikes, and they wouldn't take me into rebellion? That they could possibly lead me closer to God Himself? Or should we just ignore them? Is anybody intrigued tonight? You want me to keep going? Yeah? It's just quiet. I just want to make sure I got everybody. Amen? Christians, especially the ones in the Western Hemisphere. Ooh, ooh. That's us, right? Ooh, ooh. West side is the best side. Okay. We did that growing up in Oregon. West Coast is the best coast. That's what we used to always say. It's because we didn't know anybody on the East Coast, I think. Too busy on our side. So, Christians, especially in the Western culture, do not think that they have permission to consider their feelings. Do not have permission to name their feelings. Do not have permission to express them openly. I am thankful there are two people from Argentina and Spain right now. Because I can tell you right now, their culture is a lot different than ours. They feel a lot better. Have you ever seen a soccer game? World Cup. Here's the Americans. What's up, man? Yeah, yeah. Don't touch me too much. Get up off me. And here, right? Yeah, what? What? I mean, they're just all macho. It's weird. But then every other country almost in the whole entire world, the coach will run up to them and kiss them right in the head, look them face to face, and tell them how much they're proud of them. You ever see that? You think they're less manly than America? I think they might be more. So here's what we do in Western culture and Christianity. Especially, see, we don't like to talk about our feelings, name them, express them, especially if they have to do with fear, right? Oh, you're not supposed to be fearful. Don't you talk about that. Sadness or anger. But for many of us in here today, wasn't fear or sadness or brokenness a portion of what led you to accepting Christ that very first day? Think about it. I remember when I accepted Christ, I felt the overwhelming love of God. But why did I feel love? Because I didn't feel love. I felt shame in my life. I felt like a nobody. I felt like nobody was going to care for me. And then God came in and He loved me. Church, if we keep stuffing our emotions, it's just a matter of time before you start leaking them. Leaking them all over onto the relationships like at home, at work, well, pretty much anywhere. And when they leak out in a destructive way. Now, I got to get an amen on that. Y'all know you've been there. Won't you lie to me? Okay? You can lie to me, you can lie to yourself, but you can't lie to God. All right? This finger right here is for you. Okay? It's for me. When we deny our pain, when we deny our losses, when we have feelings year in and year out, or month in and month out, and we keep denying these, we become less and less human. This is what we do. We transform into empty shells with painted smiley faces on. Boom. Just reading my notes. Boom. If you allow yourself to feel a wider range of emotions, like sadness, like depression, like fear, like anger, a personal spiritual revolution could possibly be unleashed in your life. There's all kinds of culture being broken right now, church. I mean, it blew me away. Let's see what time we got. Sweet. You probably heard me before. Who's my favorite character in the Bible besides Jesus? King David. Have you read something from King David lately? King David. Just read many, many psalms that he wrote. Just think about it real quick. I'm surrounded by my enemies. Everyone wants to kill me. Why have you left me, God? Why have you forsaken me? What is going on, God? But I know that you are my shelter. You're my fortress. You're my rock. I know that I can hide in you. I know that my strength lies in you. God, even if everyone comes after me, I will be safe in you. Lord, I might be angry. I might be down and out, but I am risen in your love, or whatever. Over and over and over again, the man talks about feelings. And the man is a man after God's own heart, not a Western culture heart. Not a Western culture of believers. Who is the greatest king of Israel? King David. He loved hard, he fought hard, he sinned hard, but most of all, he went after God so hard. He did. So the failure to appreciate the biblical place of feelings within a Christian life that should be free in Christ is a life that is actually still bound in emotional slavery. Y'all think you're going to come into this tonight? Whew. So we have a 7-week journey that we're taking. This is week 2. We're taking it together. It's called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And it begins with a commitment. So you need to make a commitment right now to allow yourself to feel. Raise your hand if you're going to make that commitment. Will you feel? This is an essential part of our humanity. And it is a unique personhood as men and women that are made in the image of God. All right, this is where I'm going to need some people to read some scripture. Get your Bibles out, please. Scripture reveals to us that God is an emotional being. God feels. He is a person. So being created in his image, we too have the gift of expressing emotions. I need 7 people who will read 1 or 2 verses, please. Will you raise your hand and I'll point at you and tell you which one you're going to read? All right, Ms. Sherry, I saw you. Genesis 1, 25, 31. Will you please take Genesis 6, 6? Anyone else? All right, you with the cross. Pretty lady in the cross. Jeremiah 30, 24. Handsome son right next. Jeremiah 31:3, Miss Julie. Matthew 26, 37, and 38, please. Mark, Jackie, you have your hand up? Okay. Mark 3:5, somebody in the back. Can I get a back row? I need a back row. Back row, back row, back row, two back. Yes, Kurt Hancock, hallelujah. Luke 10:21, please, sir. All right, honey. Who has Genesis 1, 25, and then verse 31? Genesis 1, 25, and then skip to verse 31.
Okay. So God made the wild animals of the earth according to their kind, and the cattle according to their kind, and everything that creeps and crawls on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, pleasing, useful, and he affirmed and sustained it. 31. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and he validated it completely, and there was evening, and there was morning, sixth day.
God delighted over us. He made us, and he was pleased. Genesis 6:6. Who's got that right there?
And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart.
God was deeply troubled, right? What? God can feel that? I don't know. The Bible says he can. Jeremiah 30:24. Thank you, Janelle. You're like, can I get a better verse next time? My goodness. They got all the good ones. Jeremiah 30:24.
The fierce anger of the Lord will not return until he has done it, and until he has performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will consider it.
Fierce anger. Jeremiah 31:3.
Long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself.
Love, kindness. Matthew 26, verses 37 through 38.
And he took with them Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you here and watch with me.
Jesus, heartbroken. Mark 3:5.
He looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand and it was restored.
Thank you. Luke 10:21. Can I get a back row? Woo-hoo!
In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight.
Amen. Jesus rejoiced. That is a verb of joy. Amen. We had to end on a good one. Thank you, Kurt. The other ones, okay. Kind of sad, gloomy, all right? Just chuck. But this is God. These are his. This is just a small variation of the colorful emotions that he has. Who's made in God's image? God thinks. Do you think? God wills. Do we have wills? God feels. We feel. Thank you for everybody reading. Thank you for going around, honey. Our church's vision here at First Open Bible for 2019 is one of discipleship. Amen? At the very least, that call of discipleship includes experiencing our feelings, reflection on our feelings, and then thoughtfully responding to our feelings under the lordship of Jesus. Here's the big issue. We cannot reflect and respond thoughtfully to our feelings if we don't know what they are. So much of our true self is buried alive. Our sadness, our rage, our anger, our tenderness, our joy, our happiness, and our fear. Is it possible that sometimes God talks to us through a few of these things? Sometimes God talks to us through the knot that is in our stomach. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to read something, and if that's ever happened to you, can you say amen? Amen is just, I agree, okay? I just want to make sure that we're not all floating in separate boats here, okay? Has God ever spoke to you in the knot that is in your stomach? Has anybody ever had muscle tension in your body before and God was speaking to you about something? Has anybody ever had God talk to them when they were moved with compassion and tears? Amen. Has anybody ever had God speak to them when they were trembling and shaking? Has anybody ever had God talk to them when they had a release of adrenaline into their bloodstream? Amen. Has anybody had God talk to them when they had a sudden elevated heart rate? God at times is screaming at us through our physical body. And what do? We push it aside and we start looking for a more spiritual signal. Wow. Just my notes. The reality is this, that often our bodies know our feelings before our minds do. Okay. Honey, I just need you one more time. Until I need you again. Which is forever. I love you. Okay. I'm going to ask you something. And I want your response. And my wife will walk around and just go. So you have to get up, get ready. Ready? Okay. Start. Do you stretch? Okay. All right. When I say this, I want you to give some excuses of what people say. People you know, right? Not you, but people you've heard before. Okay? We all need to pay attention to our emotions. Go.
The biggest one I hear from some of my closest friends is, I just don't have time. I'm too busy.
Perfect. Thank you. Anyone else? Excuse, right there. Will you raise your hand if you have one so she can just get to you? Bam, 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 bam. Raise your hand if you have one. Excuses. Pay attention to your emotions.
Who would listen and who would care?
Good. Next. Right there. Told you you got to stretch, girl.
Get your steps in. I don't want other people to know what I'm feeling.
Oh, very good. Keep going. Y'all have, every single person in here has one. I know you don't. Not everybody has talk. Pat behind you. We're going to get three more.
I'm a Christian. It's not okay for me to feel this way.
Oh, perfect. Awesome. Thank you.
What will people think of me?
Yes. Very good. Two more. Pat, and that, did I see hand over here for a moment? Didn't I?
You gotta have fun once in a while.
You have to have fun once in a while. Okay. There it is. Right there. Back. Last one.
Wait, which one?
Yes. Christy. Okay.
Feeling of judgment.
Awesome. I wrote down a few. We all need to pay attention to our emotions. I'm not good at feelings. I don't have time for feelings. I'm more about doing than feeling. I don't understand what I'm feeling. I don't know what to do with all my feelings. Sometimes I get flooded with the emotions and it confuses me, so it stops me in my tracks. Feelings are inconvenient, and many times they are random. Sometimes I can't decide what feelings I'm actually feeling. Here's a good one. I was taught nice girls don't get angry and big boys don't cry. And be taught like that? Raise your hand. There ain't no three people. Y'all been taught that. Every single guy in here, have you been taught from a young age not to cry because big boys don't cry? Raise your hand. I had a Marine father. Shoot, you gonna cry? That's for the Navy. moving on. That's funny. My dad's from a Navy family joining the Marines. I mean, geesh. He's going to have to go ask for forgiveness for that, or Jesus is going to bring that up on Judgment Day, okay? See, we get caught up in trying not to feel the wrong feelings that we lie to ourselves. And sometimes we even convince ourselves that we're not feeling anything at all. So we don't understand? Shut down humanity. I don't get it. I'm not supposed to feel that. Just push it, push it, push it deep. Have you ever done this before? said one thing with your words, but said another thing with your tone, your body language, and your facial expressions. One person, please. Y'all just did it right there. Right? Yeah. Right?
Gee.
Just so you know, the more you get in this, the more God can heal you. All right? The more real you are, the more truthful. It's all right to feel what you're feeling right now. Unless you're annoyed with me, it's all right. When you are not honest with your intense emotions, you falsify reality. You're actually closing off an open door through which you can know God. Church, we have to rediscover His love and His grace, much like King David did. Okay, here's another guy, Job. Here's another one, Jeremiah. What did they do in the Bible? We must know thyself that I might know God. All right. I think we're about halfway, so that's good. We need to follow Scripture and seek wise counsel. Okay? You need to follow Scripture and seek wise counsel. All those logical people right now are going, you can't follow your emotions blindly all the time. You are right. Listen to what we're saying. Don't get all judgmental yet. Okay? Which is also a feeling. Let me know how it's going. Okay? Don't blindly follow your feelings. Instead, acknowledge them as a way that God can communicate to you. Okay? Don't blindly follow your feelings. Acknowledge them and ask God how He can use them. That's the real truth. The people that blindly follow their emotions are off. The people that deny all their emotions, you're off. John teaches us this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Dear friends, 1 John 4, 1. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God, for there are many false prophets in the world. I'm telling you right now, there's more and more and more and more right now. You can walk into a church. I hope that you guys go home and read your Bible, make sure I'm teaching the right stuff. You're supposed to. And if I am, get on your knees and accept whatever was just taught, because it's from God. But there are people, and there's people in the pulpits, there's people preaching at you through the TV, through movies, all the time, that are false prophets leading you down a false way. But here's another there's another way. Sometimes emotions can be fleshly and false. And sometimes your emotions can be from the enemy. But other times, God is prodding us to do something with our emotions. One of our greatest obstacles in knowing God is our own lack of self-knowledge. We need to end wearing a mask before God. We need to end wearing a mask before others. We need to end wearing a mask before ourselves. We need to end that. Take it off, church. Crush it. Crush it at the altar. I'm not doing that no more. I'm gonna live a real life. I'm really feeling this. Ask God, I want you to ask yourself these three questions. I'm going to ask you these questions, and I want you to tap into how you feel. Not how you think, how you feel, all right? All my men in here are like, yeah! No, you're not. But you can, right? As much as I cry behind the pulpit, I just want you to know I face all those masculine issues that we face all the time. Don't you cry. What are you, a sissy? Knock it off. I mean, those things play in my mind all the time, right? Even when I'm preaching, that's a lie from the enemy. Jesus wept. Not Jesus shed a tear and then, you know, fist bumped and chest bumped. What's up, Peter? Boom! You the rock! You the rock, man! Jesus as a gangster, you know? Stupid. So many times we've turned the Bible into something it's not. We've turned Jesus into something He's not. We've turned our emotions into something they're not. All right, tap into your feelings. How do you feel about your life right now? How do you feel about the church that you go to right now? How do you feel about the relationships around you right now? All right, 20 minutes. All right, can I blow up some theology real quick? Ready for this? First, I want to say this. Jesus was not selfish. It's truth. We all know that. But did you know that Jesus was not selfless? Let me tell you why. He, Jesus, did not live as if only other people counted. Think about it. Jesus did not walk the earth thinking that only other people counted. Jesus knew he was valued. Jesus knew he was loved. And Jesus knew he had worth. Jesus had an amazing union with his Father that created him, and that it created a mature, healthy, true self of who he was. He knew who he was because he knew that he had the love of the Father. He knew his true self. Jesus knew who he was. Check this out. Here's another reason why we know that he was not selfless and that everyone else mattered and he didn't. Jesus had friends. Jesus asked other people for help. So I want to talk to you about Jesus being tempted in Luke chapter 4. The first 13 verses tells us how Jesus was tempted. There are three false identities or masks that Satan offers. He offered three false identities to Jesus or masks that he also offers us every single day. And that these identities or temptations scream this: God's love for you will never be enough. You are not lovable. You are not good enough. Number one, I am what I do. Number one, I am what I do. Performance. How many people do you run into? Hey, what do for a living? As soon as you tell them, you're automatically labeled to that. That is your identity. I am what I do. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, Satan says this to Jesus. If you are the Son of God, right? If you are the Son of God, Satan asked Jesus the same question that our culture asks us every day. What have you achieved? Remember, this is before Jesus did any miracles. This is before Jesus did any of his ministry. This is before all that stuff happened. What have you achieved? Have you ever demonstrated your usefulness? What do you really do? Most of us consider ourselves something only in work or family, right? I'm a mom. I'm a dad, and that's all I am. Consider ourselves something in school or church or our relationships. See, it's too easy to find earthly success and be tempted to find our worth and value outside of God. But God has free love for us in Christ Jesus. Before you did one thing on this planet, soon as you were, conception happened and Jesus loved you. Before the found, it actually says before the foundations of the world, Jesus Christ was slain for you. You did nothing. That's the truth. It's not about what I do. Number two, I am what I have. I am what I have. Possessions. See, the devil shows Jesus the earth and all the kingdoms and all the stuff everyone else has. Remember that? He basically says to Jesus this: Jesus, you have nothing. How can you be someone here if you own nothing? How will you survive? Jesus, you're a nobody. That's what he's tempting him with. That's what Satan tempts us with. See, our culture is measured by our success, by what we own. Our contentment, our identities, our worth is what we wear, what we own, what we play with, what we drive, and what we live in. We find ourselves trapped in comparisons. Who has the most money in this room? Raise your hand. Okay. How about this? Here's some other comparisons. Who has the best body? Who has the best education? Who is the funniest? Who has the most comfortable life? We believe because someone has something. Come on now. Can everybody look at me real quick? We believe because someone has something we don't, that God loves them more. That's a lie from Satan's mouth. Find your personal worth in knowing that you are a child of the living God. Our Father calls us His children, and He not only loves us endlessly, but He also is pleased with us as well. Pleased. How could God be pleased with me? What did I do? That's just the God's love. It's unexplainable. It's so amazing. You cannot fully explain it. Number three, I am what others think. Popularity. I am what others think. Some of us in here are addicted to what other people think about us. Addicted. Satan tempts Jesus to throw himself down to from the highest point of the temple that people might believe in him. Remember that? He tempted him. Get to the top of that temple, jump down and see that everyone, see if, you know, the angels will catch you. See if somebody will save you. See if you really are the Son of God. We place a higher premium on what others people think about us than we actually think we do. See, we soar with a compliment and we're devastated by criticism. True freedom comes when we no longer need to be somebody special in the eyes of someone else, because we know that we're lovable and good enough in God's eyes. We cannot live a pretend life out of an unhealthy concern for what other people think. Can't do it. God has shaped us and crafted us eternally. We are unique with unique personalities, thoughts, dreams, temptations, temperaments, feelings, talents, gifts, desires. These are things that make us who we are, an authentic us. Okay, so we're going to wrap it up with this. It's a little long, but it's very practical. So, Pastor, what? Whoa, okay. I'm hearing you. How do we stand the enormous pressures and temptations in life? How do we deal with these emotions? How do I deal with all of this stuff? Do what Jesus did. See, you become secure in your Father's love as much as you become secure in yourself. This isn't a self-help thing where you look to yourself. You need to know who you are, because once you know who you are, you know whose you are. And if you know God loves you, then you know how to love yourself. I put on Facebook a couple days ago something God gave me. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking less about yourself. Becoming your authentic self involves remaining faithful to your true self. It requires this: listening to God from within yourself and understanding how He has uniquely made you. There is no one in here that is just like you, and there never will be, and there never was. Knowing your personality, knowing your temperament, knowing your likes and your dislikes, knowing your thoughts and knowing your feelings all contribute to your wholeness in Christ. That's how you become whole. Love the Lord your God with only your mind, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Is that what the Bible says? The greatest commandment? What is it? Love the Lord your God what? With all your heart, soul, and all your mind. What is a soul? It's who you are. It's your feelings. It's your personality. It is what makes you. It is what makes me Harris. Well, how can you love God with all of your soul if you constantly deny it and shove it down? Here's a quote. Find the door of your heart and you'll discover it is the door of the kingdom of God. Yeah, think about that for a little bit. God can enter into your life if you allow him to have your heart. You discover things of the kingdom of God through your heart. Yes, through your mind and all those things, but also through your heart. So we're going to end with this. Four practical truths that can help us begin a radical transformation into living a faithful, true self-life in Christ. Four practical truths that can help us begin a radical transition into living a faithful, true self-life in Christ. Number one is this. Pay attention to your interior in silence and in solitude. Pay attention to what's inside in silence and in solitude. We need to be alone so we can listen. Ask yourselves this. Why was I so angry? Why am I so afraid? What am I afraid of? See, a lot of times it just comes on us and we say, that's not spiritual, and you push it aside. But God wasn't able to work in that. Ask yourself, what am I so excited about? Preaching God's word, that's what I am. Moses, David, and Jesus all got alone and worked out things in themselves by the help of God. All of them. They all. Jesus, when he was suffering, what did he do? He said many times he slipped away from the crowd and he got alone with God and he prayed. Moses, when he could get talking to God, he went up into the mountain for a long period of time. He didn't take anybody with him. He got alone with God and he had to work things out. You don't think there was conversation saying, them Israelites, those people you give me, they're morons. You don't think that was truth? I'm angry with them right now, God. What do I do with that? You don't think he said stuff like that? You don't think, well, we know Jesus did. God, if this cup can pass from me, let it. But may your will be done, not mine. In terms of now, God, I don't want to go to the cross. It's going to hurt. It's going to be terrible. I don't deserve this. This is horrible. I don't want to do it, but may your will be done because you sent me here for a purpose, right? I'm feeling upset. You don't think that when he saw Peter after that third denial that he didn't feel something? You think he just shoved it deep and said, oh, it's not too spiritual. All right, number two. Second practical truth. Find trusted companions. Listen to people who will be real with you. Everyone, can you say real? Okay, say real. Real, okay? People who always fluff you up and make you feel good about yourself are fake. They're not real because that's not reality. We need God. We need a Savior, which means that we need saved from something, which means you're not as great as you think you are. I'm not either. That's why I need Jesus. Who are these people in our life? Mentors, spiritual directors, counselors, mature friends. Not your friend that goes to the bar and you're like, man, I don't know if I should stop drinking or not. Nah, you should do. Don't talk to that person. They don't know. They haven't been there. And members of small groups. They can help you with your inconsistencies. They can help you with your faults. And they can help you with your facades. People who will point something out in your life and say this, Dustin, bro, I think you need to go and spend some time with God and talk to him about that. Because that ain't right. Right? That's a good friend. And you say, Pastor Harris, I think you need to too. And I said, I think you're right. Because the truth will set me free, right? Number three, we're almost done. Hallelujah, 4 minutes. Number three, move out of your comfort zone. And the church rejoices. Begin to do things differently, especially in the beginning. It's going to feel very awkward. We are called to do what God has wired us to do. You have to answer this question when it comes to true change. I want you to answer this question when it comes to true change. This: which is a greater pain? Living a life that was not God's plan for you, or the pain of the change that must take place so you can live that life? Which is a greater pain? Are you living faithfully to the life God has asked you to live? It's a slow change, but God will change how you look at serving Him, serving Jesus. Number four, and lastly, pray for courage. Pray for courage. It's a word we don't use very often anymore. Shiver. Y'all know what I'm saying, so it's good. And courage, we don't talk about those things much anymore. Especially the word I was saying, because nobody talks about that because it's not a real word. Most of the time when someone is making a change, this is good, don't check out, we're almost done. Most of the time when someone is making a change to get closer to God and maturing in their true self, the family has the most power of opposition, and they want you to change back. What? You getting closer to God, you're making me feel bad, so I'm going to make you feel bad so you change back. Somebody got some messed up family up in here. I think it's all of us. It's the greatest opposition. I have three more sections here. At every stage of life in Christ, there will always be consequences, good and the bad. But keep making changes. If you ain't holy yet, you gotta change. Amen? Be willing to tolerate the discomfort that is necessary for growth. Pray for the Holy Spirit's power to continue in your life to give you boldness to change. And this is last. In many cases, a lot of us in here will be challenged, and it'll be very challenging, because there's deep multi-generational patterns that need to be broken in your life. Things that are necessary, that's a good quote, things that are necessary are usually not easy. Pray for courage. Amen? Amen. I'm sorry I didn't leave any time for anybody to say anything. Sorry. I love you. God loves you more. You can do it. Don't bury your feelings. Be real with your feelings and ask God what He can do with them. I don't know how many times have you ever done this, driving, and you see somebody who's homeless, or you see somebody who's sick or crippled, and you look at them and something in you just breaks. Do you shove that down and go, no, that's not too spiritual? No, it motivates me to pray in that instant. Or you see somebody who's there with their kids, a single mom or something, or maybe even a single dad, and they're going through the line, and you see them, and you're standing right behind them, and they're scrambling for the last $5.67 so they can buy that formula for the baby. And they're like, I don't know, I don't have it. And something in you doesn't rise up. You don't have a feeling in you that says, I got to pay that. I got that. I got $6 in my pocket. I got $20. Keep the change. Be blessed. Right? See, a lot of times our feelings, or how about this? You watch the news and something comes up, or you know it's false news, right? Fake news. And something will rise up in you and say, that ain't right. Yeah. Shove it down. You're a good Christian. Man, if I had a table in here, I could show you what Jesus did. Boom! This is my Father's house, right? Your emotions are only sinful if you sin through your emotions. Your emotions are there to connect you closer to God, to make you a whole person. Amen? We can't keep shoving it down. We got to be real. Don't be led by your emotions, but ask God. Acknowledge your emotions and ask God what you can do with them. How can God be glorified in this moment? Amen? So I'm going to go out and feel in the name of Jesus. God, we love you. We thank you for this awesome teaching, Lord. I just thank you for what my wife's brought last week, God, what you've given me this week and what my wife's going to bring next week and so on, Lord. I just ask for everybody in here, Lord, that they may go and feel exactly what, may you lead them by the Spirit of God through their feelings, not only through their mind or their spirituality, but God, also through their feelings. May you make us all a whole person. May we break off the generational patterns that are not biblical in our life, God, so you can be glorified. Lord, may we give thought to this. I pray that this goes out to the people that needs to hear it, Lord, because this is a powerful word for us to be set free, because most of all, you should be glorified. And if I can't glorify you in my emotions, actions, and my mind, God, then you're not fully being glorified. But I want that to happen in my life. We love you, and we're going to go and feel, because you have chosen this church, the church, to go out and love a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen.